One of my favorite stories involves a noted judge in South Carolina who came home one day from work to find his 3-year-old daughter wailing because her turtle had died. And being a very competent and recognized professional, he was sure he could deal with that. He said, "Oh, honey, no need to cry. We will get you another turtle." But she kept crying the harder because even at 3 years old, she knew that there's a certain irreplaceability about living things. A turtle is not a toy. And as she cried more, he said, "Oh, honey, don't cry. We'll have a funeral for the turtle." And she stopped and said, "Well, what's a funeral?" And using his lawyerly skills to kind of stretch the truth a little, he said, "Well, a funeral is a festival. It's a festival in honor of the person who died." And she said, "Well, what's a festival?" "Oh, it means we'll go out for pizza, we'll come back, we'll have cake and ice cream with some of your friends, all because your turtle has died." The little girl's not crying anymore. She's smiling and laughing. "Oh, this is wonderful, Daddy." And then suddenly, the turtle moves. The turtle begins to crawl. And the lawyer, for all of his skill, has no idea what to say next. But his 3-year-old daughter is ahead of him. She said, "Daddy, let's kill it." The look on his face was similar to that on Peter's face as he is in repose. He has gone to the roof to repose. He's waiting for his meal to be prepared. And as he's communing from God, which I've often noticed, sometimes the desire to commune with God causes people to get sleepy. And so as he's trying to commune with God, he falls into a trance, asleep, and suddenly dreams of food. And this great sheet comes down with all kinds of animals on it, and a voice commands him, "Peter, rise, kill, eat." And Peter responds in accordance with his tradition and behavior over the years, "No, Lord, I would never kill anything common or unclean." Peter thinks the dream is testing his orthodoxy. He thinks it's putting a test to his righteousness. But in fact, the dream is trying to expand his mind. And he fails. Fails so much so that the dream is repeated 3 times. And Peter awakens thoroughly confused. But then, even as he is waking, there are 3 Gentile messengers outside the place where he is staying, and they're asking, "Is a Simon Peter inside?" Now these Gentiles knew to enter the home of a Jew would bring defilement to that household. They're very respectful. They stand outside observing the taboo. But they are on a mission. And Peter hears their request. He comes down and they invite him to go with them to their master's house, a military Gentile by the name of Cornelius, who has also had a dream that encourages him to ask for Simon Peter's help. Simon Peter goes to Cornelius' house and enters it. Cornelius knows that for a Jew to enter his house brings defilement upon that person, and he is so overwhelmed by the generosity of Peter's action that he falls on his knees in homage. And Peter lifts him up, and they commune. Not as Jew with Gentile, but as human being to human being. And Peter shares the good news of Jesus Christ, and Cornelius and all of his household accept it, and all of them are baptized, and the Holy Spirit falls upon that entire household. And Peter is amazed. He knows that his friends and colleagues would be aghast at what he has done. They would be furious at him for baptizing Gentiles. But when the Spirit of God falls upon them, what can he do? God has shown no partiality between these two cultures. Peter must expand his mind. On the basis of that dream, the entire narrative of Christianity changed, as did the narrative of the world. Peter's insight is something that we as contemporary Christians need to appropriate, because ours is a world that is adept at erecting barriers that divide people. We create categories and throw people into them and say, you're acceptable and you're not. In a society bent on dividing, the sad thing is even religious organizations are very adept at creating dividing barriers. Religious organizations are very good at saying, you're righteous and you're unrighteous. You're acceptable and you're not. Those of us who grew up in the Baptist Wars in the 80s and 90s can remember growing up when you said, what does it mean to be a Christian? It just means to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But then it became to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and believe the Baptist faith and message. And then it was believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and believe a particular form of the Baptist faith and message. The truth is, categories of righteousness and unrighteousness, acceptable and unacceptable, they change with the winds. Away with all of these divisive categories. The Spirit of God moves in the world to break down barriers, to bring unity and peace and acceptance and understanding. But in order to do that, we have to expand our mind. I don't know how many of you know of the great detective Father Brown. You may have seen the television show, G.K. Chesterton's wonderful character. And in one of his stories, Father Brown is worried about a friend of his whose life is endangered, and he posts a sentry outside his apartment and says, do not let anyone in. Then Father Brown goes off on a necessary mission. He comes back and he says to the sentry, did anyone enter? No. He enters the apartment and finds that his friend is dead, with a letter in his hand. He checks the apartment for forced entry. There is none. He goes back to the sentry and he says, did anyone come? He said, no. Then how did he get the letter? Oh, the postman brought it. And G.K. Chesterton's Father Brown says to the sentry, you see, but you do not see. The sentry was so accustomed to seeing a postman only as a postman, he could not see him as an enemy. But often we make the opposite mistake. We are so used to seeing those different from us as strangers. We cannot accept them as friends. We cannot accept them as equals. The strangers outside our gates we regard as unclean. And yet the Spirit of God destroys categories, eliminates barriers. and brings people together with a message, if I made them, they're not unclean. If I made them, they're not unclean. Peter's insight is the insight that must expand the minds of us all. I see Christianity in many circles actually withdrawing from the world, trying to create little enclaves of sacredness and not worrying about everyone else. I see trends in education that are disturbing, and I know I speak to teachers and students preparing for end-of-year exams, standardized tests, and I know you have to incorporate a certain corpus of knowledge to pass those tests. That's important. But the truth is, education is not meant to be about teaching people what to think. It is about teaching people how to think. And so many groups, particularly religious groups, are bent on trying to tell people this is what you must believe, instead of giving them the resources of learning how to believe. When we cross the line from telling people what you have to think, instead of teaching them how to think, we've moved from education to indoctrination, and that will not expand our minds. Christianity has been here before, to the detriment of the faith. I think of the Catholic Church at the beginning of the Renaissance that declared the earth does not move. Everything revolves around it. Even as scientists like Galileo were discovering data to the contrary, the church said, forget your observations, just believe what we say. Galileo was called before the Inquisition and knew that he would face, like others had, torture and horrible death if he contradicted the church. And so he told them what they wanted to hear. The earth does not move. But legend says, under his breath, he muttered, nevertheless, it moves. It moves. We as Baptists ought to be the most expansive and tolerant of people, because we, from our inception, were condemned as heretics. Do you know what happened to the first Baptist that practiced believer's baptism? They were drowned. Drowned in the river as a parody of their beliefs. Do you know what happened to the people who translated God's word into language that people could read in their own tongue? They were burned at the stake as heretics. Do you know what happened to Baptists in colonial America who wouldn't pay taxes to the state church, who argued for there should be a separation of church and state? They were publicly flogged in town centers for their dissent as heretics. But history proved the Orthodox folks were wrong and the heretics were right. We have to expand our mind in order to fully deal with the complexity and the wonder of our world. Think of all the divisive categories we have in our world that separate people. None of them were as stark as the separation of Jew and Gentile in Peter's day. None of them. And when Peter had this dream, which he didn't want to have, and received a message he didn't want to hear, but needed to hear, expand your mind. He started a movement in Christianity that made it the world's great faith. when Cornelius allowed Peter to enter his home, encouraged him to enter, both of them realized they were doing something that others from the outside couldn't understand. But it was the work of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jew and Gentile realized, for all of their differences, for all of their stark contrast, their future belonged to those who practiced an expansive mind. And as Mary Margaret read in our scripture this morning, Paul put it best. There is no Jew and Gentile, no male or female, no slave or free. All are one in Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Some years ago, a Russian Baptist pastor was brought up before the authorities because they had heard he was proclaiming Jesus Christ in the neighborhood. And of course, atheism was official. So this pastor comes into the interrogation room and he carries a great big rock. He sits down, he puts the rock on the table. Naturally, the first question is, what's up with the rock? And he answers, if you silence me from proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, this rock will speak to God's glory. Now, of course, he was referencing Luke 19:40 that says, if you silence them, the rocks will cry out. But of course, the Russian authorities had no idea what he was saying. They simply thought he was crazy. And so they dismissed him, interrogated him no further, because they couldn't imagine a God so great that even the rocks would testify to his greatness. I don't know. I don't know what categories you have created to classify people as unacceptable for inclusion and fellowship. I don't know what categories you've erected to put yourself in categories of unacceptability. All I know is the Spirit of the living God breaks down all barriers, removes all divisions, because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And as Peter understood in his dream, in a dream that changed the world, God shows no partiality. While we were all sinners, Christ died for us. May we pray together. Lord, expand our minds. Expand our minds to understand that your Spirit is always dynamic. Your kingdom is always on the move. And that many of the barriers we erect to distance people who don't think or look or act the way we do are all artificial. May we understand that you died for all of us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.